Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Hello? Hello? We're almost there. All right.
Hello?
Hey, long time no here.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing well. Super excited to hear you again.
Yeah, I'm alive. That's about it.
Oh, man, I hear you.
Yeah, we're a couple minutes early yet anyway, so...
Well, I'm going to start recording about 30 seconds. No, actually, right now.
Okay.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special edition Thursday night here, Wednesday night, excuse me, here at Your Remedy is in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're pleased to bring back an information provider from some of our past shows, returning again, very excited, on the subject of credit cards, Mr. Michael Maris. My name is Martin. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedy is in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedy is in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do were they similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless. And it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. like to go over a few things here with your remedies in the law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com, if we look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on and virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes a lot of the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course. So it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known majorly for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced, the jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of your remedies in the law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of yourremedyisinthelaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups at Your Remedy is in the Law. And Your Remedy is in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that altogether make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at yourremediesinthelaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you'll get to a point where it will ask you, what are your hot points? What are you interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights. Anything that you can think of. If it affects your personal rights in one way or another, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much of how you think of a social network, though nothing like a social network. It's very custom. It's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal opinions, their personal opinions, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be of a tremendous amount of help to you. Maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do were I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. And then for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to a point where you've educated yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people to start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, maybe you're just new to your remedies in the law and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number and the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button. Fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at Your Remedy is in the Law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at Your Remedy is in the Law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that honestly most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. And we make those introductions. Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best. And believe you me, we aim for the best. But unavoidable things do sometimes happen, and when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. Again, we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have to say about these products and services. Now let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not at Your Remedy is in the Law anyway. Of course, when you come aboard and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right. Lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at Your Remedy is in the Law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
All right, Martin. We thank you so very much.
All right. So that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, it is my pleasure.
It's your pleasure to turn the call over to me, and I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have recordings that go back 20 years, and so this happened to be one of them in the rotation. Of course, we have a live call tonight with Mr. Slevin, as many have anticipated this call, where Mr. Slevin has two very special guests. These are new information providers for us. That come to us through Mr. Slevin, and the name is Ron Burgundy, and the other is Tony the Tiger. Of course, those are nom de plumes that they operate through, and Mr. Slevin will be making those introductions tonight. So without further ado, since we have so much to talk about, in lieu of giving you a 30,000-foot view of what's going on, I'm just going to turn the call over to Mr. Slevin. Go ahead, buddy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So how do we get the liability for the income tax situated so that we're not in it? That's a cool way of saying, like, being not subject to. So we have to start out with legislation, because that's all this is all based on. And legislation uses these things called the rules of statutory construction, and they must be followed by the legislative draftsmen or lexicographers when drafting this stuff. And one of these rules says that any word or phrase that is defined as a term, only that term's definition can be used when reading and or applying the statute. Another rule says that when defining a term with a list of things, they must remain in the same family. So an example might be, quote, the term edibles includes an apple, a banana, a grape, a rock, and a chicken. Well, obviously, a rock in its common meaning is not of the same class, and therefore this definition is invalid unless the term rock is subsequently defined. So here's some rules, here's some definitions of the Internal Revenue Code, which is Title 26, United States Code. And we go down to Section 7701, Definitions. A, when used in this title, where not otherwise distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof, one, person. The term person shall be construed to mean and include an individual, a trust, estate, partnership, association, company, or corporation, period. Now, note that word individual. Individual what? See, it's not a thing, it's a delimiter. It means one of something. But what? A spotted lizard, a corporate official. Or could it be the term individual as defined in Black's Law 6th edition, which says, quote, existing as an indivisible entity, end quote. Now, that would make sense. That would fall in because a trust and a state, a partnership, these are all entities created by man's contract. So, or legislation. So that would make the most sense of what an individual is in this thing. In this particular thing. 7701A2 reads in part, the term partnership includes an unincorporated organization. Keep an eye on that one. So, what happens when we go and get or go apply to have a limited liability company organized? Well, we get a certificate of organization, and that would be part of the term partnership. So then if we understand all of the above, then we go down to section 701 of the Internal Revenue Code, and it says, quote, a partnership as such shall not be subject to the income tax imposed in this chapter, period. Second sentence says, persons carrying on business as partners shall be liable for the income tax only in their separate and individual capacities. Okay? So we know that partnership includes an unincorporated organization, a.k.a. a limited liability company, and that persons are all entities carrying on business as partners. Thing. So did you hear anything in there about a man trading his labor for some type of compensation? Nope. That's because this is probably the most succinct statement of exactly what the income tax is, which is an excise tax. An excise tax can only
be right there
on activities. Huh? Hello? So this is a very succinct statement of exactly what the income tax covers, and it's not you working for a living. Oh, by the way, back up there in that definition section in A20, we have the definition of employee. And I'll let you go read it because it's really ridiculous. But there it goes over about 100 words until it comes to this item. And it says, the term employee shall include a full-time life insurance salesman who is considered an employee for the purposes of Chapter 21. So for all you people that have been working all your life and you think you're an employee, and you're not a full-time life insurance salesman, well, then you just don't meet the definition. So, how we set this up. Now, how do we use this little gems of knowledge? Well, our company contracts with a client to have what we call our private firm, which is comes from the 1910 Supreme Court case, Flint v. Zone Tracy, in which they said a private firm is not subject to the income tax. So if one of our personnel goes to the Secretary of State of New Mexico to organize a limited liability company. Now, that application, called the Articles of Organization, requires a minimum of two parties. And those are known as the organizer and the registered agent. But in New Mexico, both of these can be other LLCs. So think about that for a minute. You got an LLC that's owned by an LLC that's owned by an LLC, and can you find any human in that chain? You can, but you got to really dig a long way and deep, and we have built this tower, if you will, because we have in our portfolio, we have one company that works as the organizer who's actually got an office down in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And the other one that works as a registered agent that has an office in Raton, New Mexico. And we find this to be a very workable situation. So now you've probably heard that places like Delaware, Nevada, and maybe Wyoming are really good places to incorporate or organize. But all of these require people's names on their application, which is called the nominee list. Now, these states protect the list, but it still exists. In New Mexico, the list does not exist, and that which does not exist cannot be found. So when the application is approved by the Secretary of State of New Mexico, he or she issues a certificate of organization for the new company. Then another one of our workers goes, and this worker has never filed a 1040 U.S. individual income tax return, and therefore they are without the jurisdiction of the IRS. And this individual goes over to the website and fills out the application for a tax identification number known as an employer identification number, or EIN, for the new company. Now, there's a number of questions that are asked when one goes and does this. And like the question says, well, why is the LLC requesting an EIN? And there's several answers, but the one we always choose is banking purposes. And this actually used to say banking purposes only, because we've been in this business roughly 20 years now. And so several things changed back in 2017. So the subheading on that banking purposes says, select this option if the reason for applying for the EIN is strictly to satisfy banking requirements or local law. Did you hear anything about taxation? No, because the LLC is not subject to the income tax. Ta-da! Upon the individual getting the EIN, they are at that point listed as the sole member of the new company. And the sole member holds a meeting of the membership of the company, which is the owners of a limited liability company versus shareholders in a corporation. And the members then form a resolution commissioning a third party as the manager of the LLC. Now, manager is the only officer of an LLC. Corporations have things like president, CFO, directors, and so on. Statutory partnerships have limited partners and general partners. But manager is the only officer. However, you can have as many as the members wish. So you can have, 170,000 managers if that's what your company or your limited liability company is. Oh, just so happens. I saw something today. Google is actually an LLC. How about that? So the sole member commissions a manager. The manager picks up these three pieces of paper, which are the certificate of organization, the EIN, and his commission as manager, otherwise known as a letter of authority, and trucks on down to a brick and mortar bank. And gets the new company a checking account, comes with a debit card and electronic banking and all that good stuff that you find today in the industry. Then they bring it all back to the office, and one of our staffers picks up a pay-as-you-go cell phone. Here again, we do everything to the privacy and as near anonymous or anonymity of the client as possible. So the pay-as-you-go cell phone is programmed with the electronic banking from the brick-and-mortar bank. And we also include Square App and Cash App, among others. Now, Square is a point-of-sale or merchant services, if you will. And that once that's fleshed out, it allows the new LLC to take debit cards and credit cards. And then you can get a debit card under the Square system, which comes with a checking account. And so that gives the new company a second checking account, because you never go with just one. In military planning, which I've been very familiar with, we have the saying that says one is none and two is one. So you always want to have a backup. Now, Cash App is a peer-to-peer platform that you can transfer money really quick back and forth. And it also has a service where you can get a debit card on it, and that opens a checking account. And so if you flesh that out with this, you have three checking accounts for the new LLC all run on that cell phone. And then, of course, you can add other devices like your laptop or other phones to access these accounts. So we put all that together, make sure everything works, runs the money around and back and forth, and we put it in a box and ship it to the client. And when the client opens this business in a box, they become equipped to carry on business worldwide and income tax free. How you like them apples? So we have this business in a box, and that's the definition of a small business. At that time, it only has one manager and maybe one worker. And we don't use the term employee, obviously, because I just told you it's a full-time life insurance open. So we use the term workers, and that's workers' function, whatever the new limited liability company is, or venue is, whether it's providing widgets or boxes of stuff or some type of service known as handling and holding of goods. So whatever that is, we now have this thing, and it's a brand new business model, totally independent of the client. And so there can be a little bit of integration or full integration into whatever you're doing now, which is your business model. And we use that, and that falls under our thing called the hotline services, which we'll talk about a little later. So that's a single LLC and a small business to start with. But as I said, Google's an LLC. So you want to grow it as big as Google? Have at it. So these things can be interlocked. So you can have, say you have a small manufacturing concern, you can have the manufacturing overall business under one LLC, the building that you're in is owned by the second LLC and rented back to the operations LLC. The equipment for your manufacturing is owned by a third LLC and rented back to the operations LLC. And then the workers that build whatever you're building can simply work for a fourth LLC, and or they can have, each of them can have an LLC so that they're also protected and totally out of the income tax reach. So that's an interlocking thing. Estate planning. So you got mom and pop, and they got a house, a boat, and a car, and they want to make sure that it goes to their beneficiaries, which are usually children, but not necessarily. So the entirety of their estate can be titled under the limited liability company, and then the beneficiaries and or their guardians be commissioned as managers. So when mom and pop pass away, the kids or the guardians simply open the safe and pull out the paperwork, which is a commission as manager and so forth, and the instructions of how the mom and pop wanted the business to continue. And it continues because these LLCs are formed in perpetuity, and they are, that's another thing about New Mexico, is they are in good standing, and the only thing you have to do to stay in good standing for an LLC in New Mexico in perpetuity is have a registered agent within the confines of New Mexico. And that's what we do. And we figure that into the price. So there's no ongoing price as far as the registered agent is concerned. However, the hotline services, I guess I should tell you the price on these. We charge $7,500 to do what I've just gone over. And then our hotline services are a subscription that are $500 a year. First year is free. So, W-2s. So if you got, if you're working for, say Joe is working for IBM, he's being paid $100,000 a year. His service is costing IBM $160,000 a year bottom line. That's known as the burden rate computation. So, so Joe goes to his boss and goes, hey, boss, how'd you like to cut 25% off your labor cost, a whole lot of paperwork, and still get the same guy doing the same great job? Well, any manager or business owner wants to know how to cut their labor cost. That's a big thing in their pie. So the manager will go, well, what do we need to do? Say, well, I've got this new limited liability company. I would like to drop out of the employer-employee contract right now, and then we'll substitute in the LLC. So right now you're paying me bi-monthly, you know, $4,722 every bi-month, and that equals my salary. So in this new situation, IBM is just going to write the limited liability company one check for $10,000 and do that every month. That comes up to 120, which is about 75% of 160,000. So that's your savings. And the only thing, the only paperwork that IBM will then have to do is one 1099 to the LLC and for the whole amount. And the LLC will take care of any and all proposed taxes or benefits or anything else that Joe is normally want to get. So that's a quick and dirty on how to get initiate that conversation. And we have done this, and we can help and make suggestions. So that's what we do. And now I get the supreme pleasure of introducing Ron Burgundy, who is going to tell us how that this new company that our situation has created can get a line of credit that would make anybody, any businessman's mouth water. Because, you know, building credit, like when you're a teenager, you know, you can't get any credit because you don't have any history. Well, Ron has come up with a way of accelerating that. And Ron, are you there?
I'm right here.
Hey, great, Ron. So, Ron, take it away.
Hey, guys, I'm Ron. I'm an ex-underwriter of 5 years, from 2013 to 2018. I was underwriting business loans, and as I worked there, I saw the owners of the bank, the bankers, and the underwriters, before I became an underwriter there, as I was just working there, they were enhancing their business credit in a way that it's not heard of online. You can't Google it. You can't YouTube it. You can't Facebook it. You can't do any of that. You guys get stuck building something called Dun & Bradstreet. And working at a lender, no bank has ever asked for a Dun & Bradstreet number or a DUNS number before. So when they tell you to build it with Net 30 accounts and build up an 80 Paydex, if the lender's application isn't stating that it needs a DNB number, then they cannot see your 80 Paydex score, your Paydex score, which a lot of people think is business credit. That's store business credit, so you can go to any store. All store applications for a business ask for a DNB number, so they can see your other stores like Quill and Granger and all your Net 30s. But that's not going to help you achieve no personal guarantee funding like they market it online. It's not going to help you achieve $2,000 on a monthly payment just because someone told you to buy $100 a month worth of toilet paper and office supplies. That doesn't compare. So what we do when we want to enhance our own business credit, we go into the EIN number, which is from the IRS, nine-digit number, just like your SSN number, your Social Security number. The IRS gave you so you can go to the lenders and they can see what the bureaus think. Well, the IRS gave your business an entity ID number, an EIN number, which is also nine digits, so the lenders can go to the similar bureaus and see what they think. And if I want funding, I need to show a lender that I've been funded before, not that I'm old enough for funding. That's the first step. First step is I turned 18 years old and I have no credit, so they give me $200 or $300 or a kick out the door. What if that 18-year-old kid was showing a $50,000 car loan with a $10,000 balance and it was a year and a half old? They've been making a year and a half of payments, low balance, and they also had a credit card of $30,000 with a $2,000 balance. Well, if he walked in instead of his past self with no credit and they give him $200 or $300, but if he walked in now with that kind of power, the lenders are going to look at him different, and they're not going to start him at $200 or $300. They're going to start him where he's already at, $30,000 or $50,000 or a little bit more. And that's what I do with a business. So we go directly into the EIN number, and we are able to attach an aged account, an aged loan, and report a low balance for ourselves. And 45 days later, it's enhanced our view, the view to the lender of our businesses. And our first-time funding, 45 days after we do this process, is 10 times, 15 times more than anybody else. So it's a lot easier for me to walk into a bank with what I call the rule of three. And you have to follow these rules or it'll be very difficult to get funded. So there's six rules, but the rule of three will set your funding free. Business age, if I'm going to go in with an LLC or an incorporation to a major bank and ask for a cash loan, money that they cannot repossess, I have to be, to a major bank, I have to be 2 years old, 24 months registered on the Secretary of State as an LLC or an incorporation, not a sole proprietorship. So now I'm an old enough company. Next, I have to have comparable business credit. I can't have a Net 30 through Tiger Direct or Quill showing $100 a month of toilet paper to compare with what I really want from the bank. That's not going to make sense. So I'm going to add a $50,000 and a $30,000 to the bureaus, or a $50,000 and $150,000 or $250,000 or whatever I'm contracted to add. Now I have business age, business credit. The rule of three is my business owner's credit. I'm not going to try to hide my Social Security number from the lenders. I'm going to want to show it to them so I make sure it's positive. If it isn't, I just pay a credit repair company to repair it, right? So you guys know where to go for credit repair. You repair your credit. You have a company old enough, and you enhance the business credit with just those three pieces. No business phone number, could be your cell phone. The business location could be your house or an apartment. No website whatsoever, no financials, no tax returns, no Net 30s, no Dun & Bradstreet number, no Paydex score. Never had a Net 30 in your life. Just the rule of three. My clients in the last week have been getting around an average of $100,000 on their first attempt. In this last week and last week, I was showing all these online. I was showing all the text messages and emails I was getting and little videos from clients lately. One went to First Citizens Bank. I think it was, First Citizens Bank the other week. They wrote that their bank gave them the largest credit card. They asked them for a $100,000 line of credit. The bank came back and said, right now we aren't even offering lines of credit. However, you qualify for our largest credit card of $75,000. A month earlier, before they enhanced their business credit, and the reason why they did, they were getting denied or they're getting the max $2,000 or $3,000, maybe $4,000 approvals to go back in a month and a half later and their bank say, oh, wow, you went from no credit to you have real credit. You've been managing $50,000 with no problem and a cash loan almost paid off. Let's trust you for a $75,000 credit card, which is a lot weaker than a cash loan. So I put the top type of funding, made it real easy for them to get a larger credit card. The rule of three is business age, business credit, business owner's credit. That gets credit cards and vehicles. If I want a cash loan, I'm either going to already look like a business, have a phone number, website, and location, which completes the rule of six. I can go back to the same bank with all six pieces, the same bank that I have a bank account with, the same bank that gave me the credit card. Now I have a relationship with them. That bank I'm going to go back to with all six pieces, and they are going to approve me for somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 from that lender with no docs, which means I don't have to prove any financials, any tax returns or paychecks, or anything like that. I just have to show them the six pieces. Going back to the same bank, they're going to trust me. They've already funded me. They've already opened up a bank account. And I look like a company. They called my phone number. It's registered 411 listed. They checked my website. It's searchable. It has a breakdown of what my company does. They checked my business credit. I've already borrowed the type of money that I'm asking for. They checked my personal credit. I've never hurt any of their friends in my life. Now they're funding you. So it's really easy if you are open to having positive credit and understanding that banks really want your credit. There's not really a way to get around it right now. Every once in a while, a lender will have no personal guarantee funding up to a certain amount of money, which is very rare right now in this economy. So the banks have tightened up and said, I want your social just to guarantee the loan. I want you to have a company at least 2 years old, just like I need you to be 18 years old as a human. I would like if you borrowed money before and if you've proven you can make monthly payments. And that's where you can enhance the EIN. 45 days later, you get a copy of your credit report, your Experian business credit report, the Small Business Financial Exchange report, which every bank is part of and every bureau is part of. And now you can walk in like I do, like everyone else in my world does. We walk in knowing we're going to get what we're going after. I want that. I want to go buy that property. Okay, I'm going to get it. I just sign off the thing and I always get it. I want that credit card. I want that loan. I want that line of credit. I need those vehicles. And in the last 7 months, I needed a Maserati Gran Turismo Sport. That was January 28th, so I bought that one. And my girlfriend, as part of my business, needed a Ford Black Widow truck, which is just an upgraded Ford truck that was $117,000. I went live on social media and showed everyone me at the car dealerships, working the deal the whole time, giving zero down, no phone number, no website, no business location, no employees, none of that stuff. Just written down the financials on the application, and give them the EIN, the social, no down payment, take the truck. And then I posted up that Ford gave me 36 months of 0% after that. So after the 3 years, I'm just going to sell it. But that's the rule of three will change everything for everybody. Just make sure your company's old enough. And if it's not old enough, you can buy an age company. If you buy an age company, you can buy the age business credit. Hi, I'm Ron. If you buy the age business credit and you have something wrong with your personal, you can pay someone to wipe off anything on a personal credit report. I've never seen something that couldn't be taken off a personal credit report if you're working with the right people. So if you could buy the three pieces from having nothing, I could go buy the age company. I could buy the business credit. I could buy the personal credit. In my world, I can get all that stuff done within 2 months. In less than 2 months, 45 to 60 days, I'm done. That means I can go to the banks, ask some multiple lenders for credit cards, to get somewhere between $50,000 to $150,000 in just credit card approvals within days. from when I'm done. Take the credit card and just go online and buy a phone number, website, and location. Now the rule of six, update the location on the Secretary of State. Wait about 5 days for it to show up on the Secretary of State. Go back to my bank. If I go back to the same bank that I just got the credit card from that I used to buy the phone number, website, and location, they're not going to run my personal credit again for the loan. They're going to base it on the original one run because a major lender doesn't pull your personal credit more than one time in 30 days. So if I get that done really quick, get the credit card in the mail 5 days later, update, get the phone number, website, location, update location on Secretary of State, I'm now done it within 2 weeks, go back to the same bank, and I won't obtain any more inquiries, any more credit pulls, which is going to make it easier to get funding. And the lender is going to give me minimum $50,000, maximum $100,000 without needing my docs with that blend, with that build. And that's why people don't get funded. When we were underwriting loans, no matter what bank underwrote the business loans, 93% of the applications filled out were denied. 7% win. That's 7 applications get funded out of 100. The other people, they built their DMB. They looked horrible. They didn't want to use their social. They got kicked out the bank. Their companies were too young. Their company had no credit. And that's really it, guys. If you guys follow the rule of three, the rule of six, and understand that there is a very rare process online that you can actually enhance your EIN number 45 days later, look 10 times stronger to the bank, and just get more funding than anybody around you. And that's what we do. That's what I'm teaching.
So, Michael, are you going to field questions now?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Mr. Burgundy, thank you so very much for the presentation.
Hey, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, sir. And we understand Tony the Tiger's here with you tonight?
Yep.
All yep, right. I'm here.
There you go. You're great.
You're supposed to come in with a, it's great.
I know.
It's great.
Press star 2 on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen, to raise your hand. Press star 2 on your keypad to raise your hand. Those of you on Freedoms Radio, you'll see in the center right of your monitor the silhouette of a rectangle laying on its side. Left-click into that, type away your comment or question. Underneath that silhouette of a rectangle, you'll see a place to put your name, some other information, and then hit submit. And when you hit submit, it pops up on my end, and I'm happy to lend my voice to your comment or question. So press star 2 on your keypad, and you're going to have I'm confident, some interesting questions tonight. Press star 2.
Just one thing. Ron mentioned the credit repair. Tony the Tiger happens to do a little bit of that himself.
Right. Well, we're going to be offering that service shortly as well. Absolutely. So press star 2 on your keypad. This is going to be embarrassing for me if nobody asks a question. And
hey, we're Ron, just that good at presenting.
That's all right. All right, so we're going to start off with the brave one known as Nicholas, Saint Nicholas. Go ahead, Gunny.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right on. I was just following up from last night. I don't know if I clarified it correctly, but I was asking about personal credit because I heard some intriguing things said about credit in general. I just wanted to get the overall opinion on someone who's correct with their status, going about getting credit, not necessarily for business, but just trying to use credit in our modern society in that situation. Do you have any input on that?
Ron, you want to tell them, reiterate the how the personal credit can be enhanced by the credit?
Well, I don't do anything with personal credit.
Right.
I just do business credit. But personal credit, if you're dealing with anyone in personal credit, throughout the years that I've been in the industry, since 2013, you run into the good ones and the bad ones. And, you know, anyone who there's a lot of good people out there that fix personal credit. And I've, in the last couple of weeks, because I'm in the business credit industry, the personal credit people I know and the clients that are using all these personal credit companies, they have great success stories, and they always tell me different things. Oh, my bankruptcy came off in less than 2 weeks or less than a month or within this different amount of times for different people. My charge-offs, my collections, my inquiries, my repossessions, my late payments. So if you have things like that, bankruptcies, charge-offs, repossessions, late payments, foreclosures, liens, judgments, those things can easily be taken off when you deal with someone who understands credit. And, you know, like I said, there's someone on here who does credit or personal credit. I'm in the business credit industry where we enhance business credit, but personal credit's super important. When you have positive personal credit, the lenders on the business side will talk to you, but it's very difficult to get a business credit card with no personal credit, get a business car with no personal credit. Loan, line of credit, most things are going to take the personal credit. So just important just to have it all. And it can be fixed if you just deal with the right kind of company. And it sounds like there's a couple of people in here who fix credit.
Yeah, I guess just to further clarify, I think what I was asking was a more basic question, which was, let me see if I can reword it. Because I understand on the Wednesday night calls, it's not necessarily just for correction of status type stuff. It goes both ways. But in the specific scenario of correcting one's status, I've heard mixed things on credit in general and using it, how to go about using it. And so I was kind of looking for any input on, you know,
like
whether
how to use the credit?
Or whether it's, like, okay. Because I get told
credit. You should never use a debit card. So here's how it works. Everybody, in the last 5 years, I've only used I try to use one credit card. I have one specific credit card I use for my Walmart, my gas, my phone, everything, right? My food. And if I used my debit card in the last 5 years, I would be down $100,000. But I used my credit card. In the last 5 years, I've gone on three fully paid vacations. Because I bought all my groceries and all my stuff with the credit card, and the credit card rewarded me with Hilton. It's a Hilton American Express card, and it rewarded me about four nights a year on just the amount of money that I spent on food and Walmart and stuff. Right now, I pay the credit cards back all the time, just as if I were using cash. But if I used cash, I would have never got anything. But since I have the credit card, it gives me a VIP pass at the airport, so when I'm stuck in the airport, I'm in a VIP lounge that gives me free drinks, free food, free Wi-Fi, and I have just a lazy boy chair to hang out in, right? And that just comes as a perk. I also get points. Right now I have 2 million points on that credit card, which is the equivalent of $20,000. So go click on a button to go on a cruise right now and stay there for a month. If I wanted to, go click a button. So it gives you free things. Having a credit card and also not using a credit card or having any credit, then lenders will never fund you, and they'll never be able to gauge how much you can handle if you've never handled anything. So you use your credit because you're going to get more out of it than using a debit card and just spending your money and that's it. The credit card at least gives you perks, and you could, if you treat the credit card like your debit card, then it's the same thing. It just pays you. It gives you points back instead of, but if you misuse and go buy toys and things like that you don't need because you see this free money, well, then that's where you get in trouble. But if you use it the same as cash, you win. If you pay it off every month, you're not paying any interest. Pay it off before your payments due. You win.
Yeah.
So it really works to do that. And plus, if you don't like being in some form of debt, then banks don't like giving you debt. And I love debt. I'm about $1 million in debt right now into properties, into vehicles, into things, the debt that I want, and debts that make me money. Vehicles, I rent some of my vehicles out. Properties, I rent a lot of my properties out. And the banks are giving me more and more money because I am in debt. They go, hey, looks like you know how to manage that much. Let's give you more. Just yesterday they offered me $199,000 on a personal loan. but I'm not in the market to take out a loan right now. But they offered it to me. And you know what a smile that puts on my face when 5 years ago I couldn't even be offered a $100 credit card. I had to pay someone to fix my credit. I bought 3H companies. I enhanced the business credit. I walked into the bank 2 months later, and I was able to get $50,000 for all three companies, and then another $21,000 for all three companies on a credit card. So 50, 50, 50 cash loans, 21, 21, 21 credit cards. I hit over $200,000 just by walking into the bank, and they ran my credit one time. They ran my personal credit one time, gave all companies a credit card and all companies a loan, just at one bank. So there, anyone can do this stuff. All you have to do is use the right person to fix your credit if you have negatives, and use the right person to buy an H company, build business credit, walk in. But yeah, you want to use your credit. You don't want to be the cash guy. My grandpa was the cash guy, right? And cash was king back in the day, but credit's gold. I mean, it gets you everything you've ever wanted. And it's hard for me to lend out my money or invest my personal money that took me years to save, right? It's difficult, mind-numbing. But it's easy for me to go and borrow $200,000 and go throw that at something. At least my money's still in my pocket, and if I did screw up on that business loan, worst-case scenario happens, they put a collection or a charge off on my personal credit, and I just go to the credit guy and wipe it off. So, not really a big deal. Other than that,
so use your credit. Would you say that, because I've always, the way I've looked at it is we live in a credit-based society, and it's a lot more rewarding to use than trying to do it the old-fashioned way. But I just wanted to get, clarification that I'm not going to be, putting myself in any situations I don't want to be in with the IRS or anybody I don't have a social.
Yeah, well, we can see that's the great thing is what Ron is talking about. If you don't have certain things, then you hire people that do have it, and that's the way you get things done. So
exactly.
If that's the bottom line. Remember, all business is contract, and all contract is negotiation. So whatever you want to do, you can contract to get it done. That's the bottom line. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your clarification.
You're welcome. Anybody else out there?
All right. Thank you so very much, Nicholas. Our next speaker is our question is from Anna Maria. Go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. So I just want to make sure I understood correctly before I ask my question. Did I understand correctly that when you're building the business credit, that you are not having to sign personally for it?
No. I am almost always signing personally for credit. Because most lenders, that's just a requirement. So the first three rules is your business age, business credit, and business owner's credit. So now, the only thing I have no problem going after with no social security number and a business name, if I structure it right, it's a rule of two, which I didn't go over with you guys, but the rule of two, if I want vehicles, like my truck, which was $117,000, that one, when I got it 7 months ago, 8 months ago, I purchased a 5 year plus company. So I needed to have a company over 5 years old, kind of like a human over 35 years old. You get more than an 18 year old kid. So I needed to qualify for something that big. Now over 5 years old will help bypass a social security number requirement for a vehicle at a major dealership. Now, in order to bypass the income requirement is if the company had no credit, they would say, well, let me look at your bank account. Well, I don't have anything in the bank account. I just purchased a company. I enhanced the business credit with a $150,000 aged loan with a low balance. And then I went and got the truck without using a social. However, almost all the time when I go get vehicles, I use my social because I get better interest rates and better terms than not using it because I secure the loan. It makes the lender feel warm and squishy inside.
Okay, so that's why you need to have good credit. If you do not have good credit, somebody else having the corporate. Okay, say for example, I have a corporation that I haven't used, but the corporation had been in business since 1999, so it has also good Dun & Bradstreet. So if I revive that, I would need to have my credit right now. Not the best thing, but
yeah, you'd want to build the room credit
up. Good credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you'd want to build the EIN number like I was talking about. The DNB has nothing to do with the banking system. So Dun & Bradstreet has nothing to do with the banks or credit card companies or car dealerships or mortgage companies and lines of credit. It's only for stores. So you have to go to a store like Quill or Grainger or Uline or Office Depot or Tiger Direct or Sam's Club or Walmart or gas stations to use the DNB number. Those are the only places that use them. That just proves that you can handle your net 30 accounts. Banks don't care about the $100 a month that you handled a long time ago. You're not going to ask them for $100 a month on a monthly payment on a loan. You're going to ask them for $1,500 or $2,000 a month when asking for a loan.
So I see. Okay.
You want to enhance that EIN number. And that can be done fast, 45 days.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Again, press star 2 on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen. Press star 2. I see a couple of people I've spoken to during the week here with regards to having interest on this. I'd sure like to have some questions come from you. Press star 2 on your keypad. While you're thinking about doing that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go check Freedom's Radio and see if anyone there has asked a question. Nope. Going back to this. We're going to have a short call tonight. I was actually anticipating more activity on this. Anybody else? Press star 2 on your keypad. All right. Miss Jennifer, thank you so much. What you have?
No problem, matey.
There you go.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have an income. However, you were talking about putting up 50 for a mill, and I'm wondering if I bought something for, say, less than a million, and it was like a house I could rent out or something like that, which would create a repayment system, would that be acceptable?
That was one way of doing it. Yes, ma'am.
Oh. All right. Well, thank you.
Remember, all businesses... No, seriously, this is what you got to remember. All business is contract. All contract is negotiation. That is open-ended. What do you want to do? Let's go do it. You hire somebody to fix this. You hire somebody to age that. And the sky's the limit. Remember, Google is an LLC.
Right. Okay, so I've just got to find something that I could rent out, and then I could do it. Is that basically
That's one way of doing it. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's press star 2 on your keypad again, ladies and gentlemen. Press star 2. If not, we're going to have an early call tonight, and we don't want to do that.
I'll tell you guys this. In 2017, I was living in an apartment. I had horrible credit, 597 credit score, bad my whole life, working in a call center bothering you guys about your auto warranties may or may not have expired. Press 1 to tell me to take you off the list, right? No, that was actually in 2013. 2017 is when I changed everything. Now, I start working in 2013 at a lender. I get fired from the call center industry, which I still would be in today. Today, I don't work for anybody, not even myself. I just get money from the banks, and I invest it into ideas and little projects that bring me money back every month, like Airbnb arbitrage or buying and selling properties, building properties and selling them, trucking companies and call centers and things like that. But I did that within 5 years, and it took me 1 year to never have to go back to work again. And it took me 5 years of being paid
to learn what everyone in the world of trying to get their business funded is trying to pay people to learn in hours or minutes or at a seminar or an ebook. That's impossible. It took me 5 years to understand exactly what I was seeing, what I was part of, and then to implement it, and then to create the rule of three, which simplifies it so everybody just like me that's simple could understand that just those three things could get you max funding. And my clients are really getting $50,000 credit cards when we're done, $75,000, over $90,000, over $100,000. And these are messages and text messages and emails and just videos that are coming in every single day, every week. And it's because same thing happened with me is I did this for myself. I didn't do this to train the people. I didn't do this to teach anybody about my circle and how I got out of the rat race. I simply knew where I could buy H companies because I worked in an industry that we knew who the best was. I simply knew where I could really fix my personal credit so I didn't deal with some stroke online that was $500 just going to steal my social or screw up and never do the work and hang up on me, delete me and block me. I knew where that I could build the business credit. So if I could pay someone to fix my personal credit, which I did, 597 to a 745, that was where my credit was in. Now I'm in the 800s. And now I'm walking around in my $1.something million house in Southern California. That means it's small and I don't have a backyard or a front yard. And then, I'm driving, I got two Maseratis, and not to boast or anything, but I have everything I want.
Cool.
Right? I want everything that I'm doing. Yeah. So if I can do it, if I can go and just simply enhance my ability to borrow way more money than my neighbor, than my friend, than my competition, I beat everybody every time because they're wondering, how did you do it so fast? How are you getting more money than me? I've been doing this for 5, 6, 7, 10 years, and I can't even borrow that kind of money. And you did it in 2 months. What are you doing? And I just explained the rule of three and the rule of six. People follow. Everybody gets funded. If you can do the rule of three, you'll get funded by people like me, and we're the ones inside the bank that are approving your loans. But we know a lot more than you. Follow this. Follow the rule of three. Follow the rule of six. Don't listen to anybody online trying to teach you about the DMV thing, the net 30s, the buying toilet paper and office supplies for $100 a month, and that's somehow going to delete the Social Security number requirement that the lenders are going to just go dumb over that. That $100 a month of toilet paper and office supplies with Quill and Granger and Uline is going to somehow get the lender to trust you for $1,500 a month on a monthly payment on a loan. That doesn't make sense. It's exactly how I break it down. So if somebody owns a company listening to this and you're having trouble getting funding or you're still getting $5,000 credit cards, $10,000, $15,000 credit cards, you're not getting anything giant, just reach out. We'll show you how to do it. And then information for me is completely free. There is a product that costs money, building the business credit, but the information, which is gold, you can't go to a seminar in this day and age and even get this information. You can't buy an ebook that'll tell you to do it this way. They're going to tell you to buy toilet paper. So this way is just going to fast track you straight to the bank. And that way, if you have somewhere to put the money or have a need for it, you're there 10 times faster. And that's all I want to do because now I'm living a better life than I was before, and I'm just laughing it to the bank. That's Ronnie's story.
Any more questions?
I keep muting myself so that I because I'm coughing and I'm talking and I'm going, wait a minute. Anyways, I apologize. Let's see. Next is David in Austin. Go ahead, David.
I listened to the call from, I think, last week. And so my question is on the EIN letter. In applying for the EIN number, my understanding is that the EIN number is a CP575G. What is
that
it?
That is what comes. Go ahead.
Right. What is it that qualifies for the G status when you're going through that process?
By answering the question of why is the LLC requesting an EIN, and we always choose for banking purposes. And as I said, this used to say for banking purposes only. And the subheading
okay,
says,
but if you go before that, there's selections you have to select before that.
Yeah.
Are you selecting LLC?
Yes, you select an LLC. You select, let me see if I can remember how it goes because it's not in front of me.
I mean, there's something different because I've got 8 LLCs that have a 575B as in boy.
Okay?
So what is it that makes this LLC a 575G?
So you select LLC, the person, the human being applying for it is listed as the sole member. And so because in 2017 they changed that. You used to could get an EIN for using another EIN, but now you have to have somebody with a social and they're their
right.
sole member. And then you, it's a designation. It doesn't mean anything. But when you get down to the question that says, why is the LLC requesting an EIN? We only choose the banking purposes, and that's how you get the G. The B is probably new business. And I'll go over this because I've got this in front of me. So when you on your petitioning the IRS for an EIN, it says, why is the LLC requesting an EIN? And it says, choose one of the reasons that best describes why you are applying for an EIN. And it says, one is starting a new business. Two, hired employees. Again, these things are defined in the Internal Revenue Code. Remember that opening
right.
statement. Banking purposes. Select this option if the reason for applying for an EIN is strictly to satisfy banking requirements or local law. Okay? That's what you want. And then the next one is change. Go ahead.
I have done that with 6 LLCs in the past, and they came up with a 575B as in boy, not a G.
Without being in on your process, I can't tell you, but I just know that we get the G by doing it this way.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much, David. Next is Ron from Coco, and then followed by Kent from West Virginia. Go ahead, Ron.
All right, Ron. I'm a 75-year-old vet, retired for the past 10 years, living on Social Security and VA benefits. Can you help me? with caveat, my credit score is over 800.
Ron, you want to field that?
Yeah. So with your credit score over an 800, I'm assuming you have open accounts. You have a home. You have a mortgage probably, and you have maybe a car loan and some credit cards.
At present time, I have a mortgage only. One small loan and a credit card.
Okay, cool.
Minimal balance.
You have a credit card, you have a small loan. That's perfect. So that's showing you have open accounts that you're actively using. Low balances makes you great. 800 tells the story right there. You're in a good position if you have the rule of three and the rule of six. So the rule of three, with the information I know now, knowing if I want to get to the money faster than slower, I would go buy myself a company that's over 2 years old. It sounds like there's some guys on here who offer those from New Mexico. And then, so I'd buy myself an H company. If no one on here offers that, then I would direct you to a place, where I would purchase one. When you purchase an H company, and I'm going to kind of go a little deep on the H company part. It's very important when doing a process like this, if someone on this call does offer those, I'm a very rare character that goes into the past and attaches an aged debt to show history. The company that's being sold to somebody would have to have always been active on the Secretary of State. The past would have to be active where they paid the fees every single year, and you're not selling an inactive company from New Mexico or whatever state and saying, oh, you can activate it by paying the fee today. That blocks me from going in the past. So you'd want to have a company that's always been active in the past. You would then want to add business credit, and you already have the personal credit. So something like that's probably close to, you know, if someone was going to put a price on it, probably close to like $5,000 or $6,000 to obtain if you're missing those pieces. If you have an H company, it's just sitting around that you're sitting on, cool. But if you don't and you're trying to get access to funds because you know how to move the funds, you know how to invest it into something to get more money back, then buy a company over 2 years old, enhance the EIN number. You have the positive personal credit. The lenders will trust your business.
Yeah, this is Slevin, and we do offer that in our repertoire as well.
So perfect. So Slevin's got you right there on an H company. And you go to Slevin and talk to him about business credit. I help him on that side, and that's what he takes care of. So he can sell you the entire process. And you have the hardest part that most people can't get over. Their personal credit's been shot because of COVID or the economy or just bad, you know, negative stuff. And if I were to create $1 million of positive credit onto a 20-year-old company, nothing would happen at the bank, just denials. But if you have positive credit and I create something real small, a $30,000 and a $50,000 aged account on the business that's aged, and you have the credit that you have, you're looking at each your own bank offering you $35,000, $50,000, $60,000 on just a credit card. And then you don't have to just stop with one bank. You can go to multiple lenders in the same week and achieve multiple credit cards, large ones. Credit card, I'd buy myself a phone number, website, and location. They sell it on Google. You know, your own phone company sells a business line. So you purchase a business line, you know, that's registered as a commercial number. You go on Fiverr.com or anywhere.com. You can build a website or have someone build it for a couple $100. And then you buy yourself a business or pay for a office space, a real looking office space, not a FedEx or a Kinko's, but one that looks like a brick and mortar business location. Could be a good virtual office for $100 a month. Or a real small real office and for about $400 or $500 a month. As long as you have something, you look like an operating business, and now you go back to the same bank and go ask them for more money. So you'd be in a pretty good position.
That would qualify me for starting.
You get
what am I thinking of? Homestead operation.
It'll give you enough money to do, you know, if it'll give you money and access to money from the bank. So banks will give you loans, and they can give you credit cards. You can use the loans and credit cards to create what you're creating.
Okay. Thank you for the information. I appreciate that.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Before we go to Kent, there's a quick question back here at Freedoms Radio. Jeff writes in, can you please restate how one may access these packages as well as the costs? So
you can go to
LLC.
11. Offers. You're talking about the biggest business credit packages?
Talking about starting. It starts with Mr. Slevin. That's $7,500. And then
right.
For Mr. Slevin, and it goes to.
Depending on what has to be cleaned up this is Slevin, and we have some aged companies, and or we can help you to acquire one, as Ron said, so we can get it all done. It just depends on the details, but but it all starts by calling up Michael's, Michael, what's that 1-800 number that you guys use?
1-800-625-4250. 1-800-625-4250. On the other hand, if you have my personal cell number, just call me directly. But if this is the first time you're reaching out to me, reach out with 1-800-625-4250.
Yeah. So that's the point of entry. And then you have that discussion with Michael and or his people, and then they get it out to us guys that are doing the work. How's that sound?
Sounds excellent to me. All right. Next is Kent. Thank you.
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Two things. The first thing, I want to verify something that was said, and then I want to draw a scenario which you could help me with. You were saying that if you buy an aged company, there's a lot of so-called aged companies and corporations, et cetera, that have been on the shelf that would have to be reinstated. So you're suggesting that while you could do that, that wouldn't be the best idea if you wanted to attach aged debt to it, because there'd be no way to do that unless the company was current every year?
Correct. Correct. Because I'm going to get in my Maserati time machine and go sit down with you a year and a half ago. And then I'm going to say, well, let's get the loan. You fill out the loan paperwork, and I'm going to say, oh, unfortunately, it's not active on the Secretary of State. I can't give you a loan. And then you look back at me and say, but in a year and a half, I'm going to buy it and activate it. I said, well, we can talk later. So I won't be able to act the back day, right? So it doesn't make sense. I have to make sense as a lender to look like I'm still a lender the right way, so everything attaches perfect. So
right.
There's people who sell age companies that are inactive, which is okay for the future. It's very difficult for a lender to trust you as much with a company. And when you buy them in like New Mexico and Wyoming, things like that, you're masking the original owner information. So there is no owner information, which is really fun, because when you move it to your state, the underwriter like me, I'm going to look at your state. It's going to say, hey, you got it in Wyoming or New Mexico. And I'm going to go, oh, let me go to Wyoming, Secretary of State. I go there. It's always been active, so there's no red light saying they might have purchased it, or let me check into it deeper. And it doesn't show who owned it in that state. So I can only assume if it never went inactive and your name's on it in your state, that when I went back and I couldn't see the origination of anything, I could only assume that you owned it the whole time. But I get leery when it was inactive and then you now activated it and moved it to your state. Now I'm thinking this might be a shelf company.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody selling shelf companies, make sure you don't put the shelf companies on a list on your website. That is called a published shelf company, and that can be flagged really quick when someone goes to a lender for funding. If there's a list on your website, it's published, and now the underwriter can just Google the name of the company when underwriting the loan, and your website pops up for sale, that company, and then now the underwriter's like, oh, we're going to flag that. That's a company that's even for sale right now. So,
okay. So they never ask these questions where you would have to make a misstatement of fact regarding whether you owned it the whole time or whatever. They actually presumption.
No, if they wouldn't ask you anything like that, if it was incorrect and something was wrong, you would get a denial and a letter in the mail a few weeks later that would state the reason why. Hey, you know, unfortunately, this company hasn't been active long enough, or the original owner, it would tell you the problem. But if you just do it right the first time, then you just walk right in and everything's fine. Lenders don't really ask you too many questions. They just give you approvals, denials.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I may, one of the ways that we establish ownership for, like, when we do it, an LLC is the organizer and the registered agent in New Mexico. So that's the way it stays, but then what New Mexico wrote into their legislation was a thing called an operations agreement. And this is similar to what the corporation uses, which are called articles of incorporation. So this operations agreement is a standard business practice format to tell institutions such as lenders that you are now the owner and have been for the last 10 years or whatever the LLC backdates to. So that's another method to facilitate what Ron is explaining.
So is that legitimate to say that you're actually the owner of it for 10 years when you actually just purchased it? Or are you making an agreement when you purchase it that you had owned it previously?
The
system is built this way, just like when Trump jumped on the other year talking to Hillary about the tax code, and she goes, "Well, you shouldn't be doing that." He goes, "It's your rules. I'm just following your rules." So all you're doing is there's different states that have different ways of doing the Secretary of State. New Mexico happens to be one of them that masks certain information. That's just a state thing that they have for their particular state, which is very rare. So there's only about two or three states that you can go into who do it this way. And because the state does it that way, it blocks the ability to the new lender to see that you didn't own it the whole time. So they're led to believe that you did. And it's not you tricking them. It's the state of New Mexico themselves, the way that they have their system set up.
Would Wyoming, Delaware, Montana, and Nevada be the other states that would clarify for what
you're
saying?
You're naming things off right in a perfect row. You did that really well. Those states are very, very, very. I mean, those are basically the exact states. So New Mexico seems to be the big daddy right now. In my industry, all I'm seeing are people come to me with New Mexico. They used to come from Montana, but a lot of Montana corporations got flagged. A lot of those ones that are for sale, people put them on lists and all these things got flagged. So Montana pushed away. Hawaii was one in the past that pushed away. Wyoming's still good. It looks like a company that I deal with, too, is going to start rolling out their Arizona ones. Or Nevada or Arizona one. I think of Arizona one. So Arizona and New Mexico and Wyoming seem to be the hot ones for funding right now.
Mm-hmm. The difficulty
so these are
with Nevada.
Some of these are some of the same states that one might also open a corporation in then.
Exactly. Basically, great places to open a corporation or LLC. LLC protects you more than a corporation, but corporations get more money from the bank. It just depends on what you're trying to do.
Okay. I want to move on with my second scenario. Jennifer was talking about, and it was alluded to, about being using this to buy rental properties, et cetera. Today in this country, we're faced with a situation much different than the 70s, 80s, and 90s, where you could collect enough rent on a two-family house or a three-family house, make the house pay for itself over time, even if you were paying a mortgage, property taxes, water bills, and other general expenses that a landlord or an owner would take care of. Today, that's become much more difficult to get those numbers to work on smaller properties and sometimes also on larger properties. Now, what you're saying about these loans and saying that it could be used in this business or the real estate rental business, so they're not actually looking at as when you go get a mortgage for one of those properties and they want to see how all the numbers work out for the rents, et cetera, and the property will pay for itself so they don't end up with a foreclosure situation. You're suggesting doing what you're doing or suggesting would work in this business without somebody actually looking at all of those property numbers. Am I right so far?
Correct, because when I go after money, I'm not going after properties. Big banks don't want to give mortgage loans to the business. They really no, we don't want to do that. So what I do is I appeal to the bank by looking like a different. I don't say I'm an investment company or a real estate company. I leave those names out of the company name. 100% don't put those names in. And when I go to the bank, I'm a call center. I'm an e-commerce company. I'm a computer engineering company. I'll just set up as those. And then I'll have a 3 or 5 year company set up that way. And when they ask me, hey, you know what? They'll tell me, hey, you qualify for $50,000 or $100,000 in cash or credit cards. What do you plan on using it? If I say, hey, I'm gonna go buy a property, they're gonna say, no, thank you, we can't give you that loan. But if I say, it's for marketing for my e-commerce company, my computer tech company, whatever. They go, oh, here you go. No questions asked, just here you go. You're going to put it into marketing. Marketing usually pays back. And one way that I've been, that I'm doing right now, and let's say I get funded. I don't need to get funded, but let's say I got funded $50,000 today. Well, last week I signed an agreement with an Airbnb arbitrage program where it's going to cost me $18,000 or invest $18,000, right? But what with that, when you were talking about like not that easy to get your money back monthly, this way it's way easier. My LLC is going to rent a house for about $1,800 a month, right, in Texas. So I'm in California. The property I'm going to rent in the corporate name, without my social or anything, just rent in the corporation for $1,800 a month, is going to be in Texas. Now we're going to put it on Airbnb, and in that area, with the numbers with other properties that we have, about every 3 to 4 months we're going to profit $18,000. So our money is going to come back within 3 to 4 months, and every week people are going to be renting this thing. Now, me personally, I don't have to put my hands in the pocket at anything. I just got to pay, sign some documents. Another company goes and finds the property. Another company takes part of that $18,000, puts the first and last down, gets the renter's insurance, and then gets all the furniture and fills up the house. They set it up on Airbnb. They do all that stuff for me, and then I pay them 10% to manage the property. So if someone calls, hey, there's no key, hey, there's no toilet paper, the water's not working, I don't have to deal with it, so they get 10% of the money comes in. But within 3 to 4 months, I'm getting my money back. So every 3 to 4 months, I'm making a lot, and that's the profit. That's after we've paid the rent every single month. So that's a fun way of doing it. You just have to deal with a trusted company it's not just taking your money and running.
Okay, so with what you're doing, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, please, you're really saying that trying to do things the way they were done, you know, 20 years ago, where the numbers on property added up, that's not working very well because you're using the example of an Airbnb. And I'm sure, like in Southern California, where you're saying you are, that the prices of property are very high, and even though you could get a lot of rent, the numbers may not add up that you could actually show a profit on that particular property.
Exactly. And even with my own house, they rent, all my neighbors are renting, right? It's a new area. They built this whole area in 2018, and I purchased the house in 2019. My mortgage is, I pay $7,100 a month, right? Now, if I wanted to rent it out, it only rents for $5,100. So I would be losing $2,000. I would still be upside down $2,000 even if I rented the house out. Mm-hmm. So it's just like what you're saying. It's very difficult to make money by buying a property right now and selling it unless you paid it way far down, right? If you paid it down enough and then rented it out, then you gained equity over time. Well, shoot, you win. You know, because you have equity. You just need someone else to pay the note on it. But
well,
if it's in my scenario, they wouldn't pay the note. They'd be missing.
But that's your statement is dependent upon what percentage you could have made on your money doing something else. Because if you paid it down, you now have the money in the property, and it's not working and accomplishing anything else for you. So there can be a loss there also. I'm not talking about an amortized tax loss. I'm talking about a direct loss because of the dollar and cent situation.
That's a mite, gentlemen.
Yeah.
If you've ever heard of a guy named Robert Kiyosaki and Rich Dad Poor Dad, so when looking at deals, which you're going to make, you know, you're looking at a deal to make money, he goes through like 100 to find one. So that's what we're basically slicing up around. You know, the thing that that Ron talked about that $18,000 in the Airbnb, and it's all managed by other people, you know, and they get their piece of the pie, but that deal is profitable. So Robert Kiyosaki always said, you fall in love with the deal, not the property. So, in other words, you know, and it's a really big market out there. It's huge. So,
well, I mean,
what Ron,
yeah, go ahead.
What Ron is saying is, you know, the deals are out there. The old traditional, like you just said, you know, just buy a bread and butter 3-2 and rent it out. Yeah, that's probably not the best way of going out there because the better deals are available. And it's getting out there and finding those deals that'll make you the money. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think that the old tried and true rules, some of them are still good, that, you know, the money is made when you buy the property, not when you sell it. A lot of people buy something and they think they're going to make big bucks when they sell it. The money's actually made. You have to buy it right in order to make any money when you sell it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the Airbnb thing because the whole world is heading toward renting anyways. You know, so to kind of be a – me personally, I'm doing one right now that I'm just signing for. I have multiple people in my group that have already done this before with the same company, and they're having a fun time. And all they do, the hardest job they have is just to look at their bank account to make sure the money cleared. And I'm like, oh, cool, renter rented. You got alerted. And then money hit the account. You check. Okay, cool. So I like hands off. I stay home with my family all day, every day. And I walk my son to school and walk him home. And I don't have time to do things. So I've just figured out how to do minimal output of my time and maximum income. And I might not make as much as someone else makes when they flip a house because I split it 50-50 with another company that does all the work. But I split the profit 50-50. I'm the investor and the builder. They do everything, and I give them 50%. Like $50,000 is coming next month off of one of my builds or one of my properties. And instead of me getting $50,000, I'm getting $25,000. I'm going to get 50 and I'm going to give them 25, but I love it. I don't care what happens. I just like that someone else is doing everything and I'm actually making a profit. And all I have to do is just put more money in to make more money.
Right? And you can't go broke taking profit.
No, no. And the ability to borrow money is a safety net, guys. I've never felt this safe and secure in my life. I know if every one of my streams of revenue were to die today and I would have an oh crap button, an oh shit button. I'd hit it. $7,200 would come out and I would see a couple hundred, $200,000 to $300,000. And everyone else sees $7,200. And they're like, how do you see so much money? I go, well, my credit just went to crap. My company just went to crap. And I need to go buy an age company. I'm going to go buy for that much. I'm going to buy the business credit. I'm going to fix my credit. That cost me $7,200 in my book of friends. And I go, now with all that, within 2 months, I'm done. Now with those three things, I can go get over $100,000 in credit and just credit cards. And then if I need to get vehicles, I can get two vehicles at around $50,000 to $75,000 a piece with no down payment. Maybe they're rent. Maybe I put them as rentals. Maybe they're Sprinter vans and I'm using them to run boxes back and forth from warehouses to people's houses, delivery service or something. Who knows? But now I have credit cards. I take the credit card, I buy a phone number, website, location, I update location on Secretary of State, I go back to the same bank, I get at least $50,000 cash. I take that $50,000 cash, I go talk to another friend of mine and say, hey, if you go 50-50 with me on this $80,000 property and we flip it, then we can make X amount of money. And then now I got his 50 and my 50. You know, he's using 40, I'm using 40. We have some money left over to service the loan. And now the money comes back 3-4 months later, plus with friends, and then I go in and do it again and again and borrow more money and more money. And it just starts right over. And I could go to multiple lenders at the same time and trick them, or called stacking. Fill up 6 applications online, get 6 computers, call 6 of my friends, open 6 computers up and say, let's fill up this application. One for Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America. And I look at all of them when we're done filling it out and say, 1, 2, 3. Submit. We all submit it. A majority of them will only see one credit pull, their own, and assume that I'm only dating them. Well, if they think I'm only dating one of them, each one of them are going to treat me really good and fund me. So I've done it before where I've got 6 lenders at the same time to give me $50,000 because that's all I deserved. So I got $300,000, $50,000 from each one. So that was a fun time. That was about 5 years ago. I ended up with $300,000 and I just bought the process. I bought the rule of 6. I went to 6 banks, became their friends, opened up bank accounts with a $100 bill in each account. Went home, talked to my buddies, online, we all filled out the different applications, and at the same time, we hit the submit button. And then I got funded. So anybody can do this. It's just, you just have to just have the rules in place. Just the first three. The rest follow. Business age, business credit, business owner's credit. That's it. Three fucking things.
So when you're buying a property, you're actually buying this property in the name of an LLC, or are you possibly
Correct.
Changing it?
Mine are all
so
going, I go and I set up an LLC, I build the business up, and then we go buy properties in the LLCs.
So you don't deal with charitable religious trusts or anything like that with your properties?
No, I'm not that upgraded yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have seven properties right now, and I just haven't gone that far. I got six of them at one time last year, and then I'm in the middle of flipping one flip. But six of them are lots of land that we're going to build, and one's a flip. So I'm fairly new in that industry. What I do is I just take chunks of money and talk to people that seem to be good in their industry and say, let's make a deal. You do all the work, I'll invest, and you get it all done. And then
okay.
So these are my – I flipped one house already. Now we're in the middle of flipping the second and building the other six.
Mm-hmm. So basically what you were saying before, to use your example of your $7,100 a month mortgage, but you could only get $5,100 if you were to rent it out. That's if you were to rent it out conventionally. But if you're doing this with an Airbnb or some other way, then you can surpass the $7,100 is what you're saying.
I've been offered by a third-party company. They keep my girlfriend's friend that's in the industry, and they're for corporate leasing and where I live, how close I live to the corporations and to the airport. She's willing to give me $13,000 a month for me to move out of my house and let her rent it out, and she can get around $21,000 a month to corporate leases. So
mm-hmm.
There's a huge – I'm upside down if I rent it to one person, but if I let someone rent it out, they're just going to give me a guaranteed $13,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And let someone else – so it's by renting it out to a whole bunch of renters, just better. So – And then
the deals are out there.
Yeah, you just gotta. I mean, I swear to God, TikTok is crazy, and the Facebooks and that stuff. You type in things that you want to do. There's a lot of scammers, but if you just like vet them out, do some research, talk to some people, or just only do business with the people that you know that's done business. Like in this group, I believe everyone's pretty on top of what they do. This group could change your life. You know, the already Slevin can sell you each piece or get you set up with whatever you're missing. If you need your personal credit, if you need the age business, you need the business credit. I create the business credit for Slevin, for Mike and them. So if that right there is the rule of three. And then you can create the rule of six just by going, taking the credit card you get because of it and buying a phone number, website, location, go back to your bank.
So it goes back to what Kawasaki says. You may have to look at 100 deals to find the one right deal that's going to make the a profit.
Yeah, you got to shop. You got to work. You got to put it out there because things will not just come and fall in your lap.
Well, I think some of us know that already.
I swear the internet with eBay, anyone can – I mean, you can go online on other websites and you can legitimately buy things for very inexpensive. And sell them right back on eBay and Amazon, and you don't have to do any marketing. You just list it on those two places, and then they sell for more than you bought them for. I watched someone do it right now. They show me it just started 2 months ago. They said, well, here's how much I brought in the last 2 months. It was $7,500, and I said, well, how much did it cost you to get there? They said $2,200. So they made over $5,000 in the last 2 months just by going online and buying stuff for your bathroom, you know, like stuff you'd have in your bathroom, a whole bunch of toothpaste, a whole bunch of, you know, razors, a whole bunch of, deodorants and hair products. And that's it. And I'm like, you're at $7,500? And that's all you're doing? They're like, yeah, I go over here. I find things for really cheap. And then I go post them over here. And they sell every day. I go, this is cool. That's I like hearing that. You know, I like seeing someone try something very simple because you can replicate simple.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, if they can make money doing that, anyone can make money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kent. Anything else?
You're welcome. No, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Real good. Jennifer, go ahead.
Hey, I have a number of questions. The first one's from someone else. So I don't fully understand it, but how is it legal to age an LLC?
Well, anyone can purchase an aged company. Elon Musk just purchased Twitter, and that was an aged company.
Right.
May I answer your question?
Sure.
The companies were organized years ago. All right.
Uh-huh.
You can't take one that's organized yesterday and age it, because that date, starting date, is on the Secretary of State's website.
Uh-huh.
But there are organizations and people that's what they do, is they organize companies and then put them in a position to be able to sell them 2, 3, 5 years later.
Uh-huh.
See, that's another piece of this business. So that's where the aged company comes in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think what she's asking is how does Mr. Burgundy create credit?
That's the question. I get that question. So with that question, we happen to run in an industry that's an unregulated industry. So we're definitely running on a frowned side of the fence, where it's frowned upon against the uploader who actually uploads it. But it's frowned upon because it's undetectable. The only way a lender detects it is if the client decides to say, hey, I just bought this one. But then they're not too happy about it. But it's an unregulated industry. Until they regulate the industry, which we don't see that happening anytime soon. I've been in this industry doing this exact process since 2013. And so far, they are not regulating the business side.
Huh.
And that's it.
It's
unregulated, so they just haven't made any rules against it. That's it.
Understand. So we're not talking about a moral question. We're talking about a legal question. And it's just not illegal to do.
Correct.
Understood.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's
definitely frowned upon from the banks going, hey, you're tricking us into getting more money than we should have gave you because our view is bigger than it should have been. And we get that. But this isn't for someone to go and try to take someone's money, and that's why the lenders personally guarantee the loan, so you can't just go and take their money.
Right.
It's for someone just to get a one-up in the world and get more money from the lender than they could have got, and that way, whatever you are investing in, you can invest more and get more back. Just get a bigger jump start than most people.
Sure. How many mom-and-pop businesses could have survived had the bank not, you know, called in a note, screwed them over, you know, didn't do what they said that they were going to do, or when you were in a vulnerable situation as a business, they chose at that time to call in a note or something. I understand. Perfect. Thank you.
I have a couple other questions. You said that someone offered you $13,000 a month and that she could get $21,000 a month guaranteed if let her rent your house. What collateral or guarantee does she give? Like, would you want to guarantee you would get that $13,000 from her every month?
I mean, this would just be a contract, and I would trust this one. It's actually a real strong trusted resource in my world. And where I live right down the street. I'm in Orange County, California. I live down the street from all the businesses and all the factories and everything, and the airport's right next to me. And I'm in a
uh-huh. –
there's water parks next to me. So it's like she already knows the value of the area, so she would – as long as she had control of my house, then she would give me basically $13,000. And then
uh-huh.
she would rent it out. She knows she's going to make somewhere between $18,000 to $21,000 based on the area and how she already does it.
All right.
Supply and demand.
So,
I did.
Both, I do everything through the corporation, Soul, and the CRTs. Obviously, you're not involved with that, so I won't ask you about that. But I would like to know about, do you take into consideration ever whether the land could qualify for a lordial title, or is it in an area where you could get off the tax rules, or because it's a, you know, like maybe businesses that can't do that or whatever? You know, do you understand? Do you look at the land freedom ability when you're buying things?
The allodial title and that sort of thing is for people. It's not for entities. And so if you're running and gunning, to put it lightly, and moving things like this, you know, the Airbnb and so forth and so on, the business taxes or the county taxes on the property are just part of doing business. So that's taking it, but you're making sufficient profit with still having those expenses that it's not worth the time and effort to go through that. Allodial title would be best for something that, you know, you want to live on and pass to your prodigy.
Can land be allodial titled, just the land, even if a business is on that land and you're paying the business taxes and everything? Can the land itself be allodial?
Well, okay, the land is the only thing you can be allodial. Anything upon the land, such as a house, is known as improvements. So you're not really, you're just talking about the dirt. And then,
right.
And then everything above that that's man-made are known as improvements.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So let's see. What do I need to have in place to begin the process of purchasing a piece of land, a property for Airbnb? Like, what if I come to you and say I want to Airbnb something, I don't have any income, what do you expect from me for it to make a deal?
We're not in the Airbnb business. We provide the vehicles, and those vehicles would get the credit to venture into that market. But you need to talk to somebody who does Airbnb for that kind of information.
So you don't
care
what it's for.
Go ahead.
So just come to you saying, I want some money.
We can get you the vehicles to get the credit to then get into the Airbnb business.
I see.
But that particular vein of real estate, there's lots of people out there that are doing it.
Right. Yeah. Well, if what would I need to do first to get that line of credit and an LLC and everything?
Call Michael.
Okay. All right.
That's the answer. Everything, call Michael.
Okay. There needs to be a couple of Michaels, I think. Three or four would probably do the trick. Okay, well,
I'm working on that. All right. Listen, I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. Jennifer, did you have anything else? I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, I think that's good. Thanks.
All right, thank you. I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening, especially our special guests, Tony the Tiger and Ron Burgundy. Of course, Mr. Slevin for his standing here every Wednesday night. And I look to have Ron and Tony back sometime soon. And we'll also be pursuing with Tony how to clean up your credit scores, et cetera. And we'll be working on that as well. And so I want to thank everybody. Any final words, Mr. Slevin, Mr. Burgundy, Mr. Tiger?
Well, y'all have a good evening.
All righty. Thank you so much. Again, we'll see you Saturday night. Justice Beshear will be presenting How to Own Nothing and Control Everything. That's the perfect way to be. Until then, good night, everyone, and be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you.